Today's daf is Menachas Daf Hey Vav. We are holding on the very bottom of Daf Pei Hey Amid Beis at the two dots at the bottom of the page. Ein Mavin Lomi Beis Hazavalim. So we're in the middle of a series of Mishnayos of where the Beis Hamikdash got its supplies from. Specifically, where did they get the grain and how did they process the grain? And then yesterday we began the discussion about the oil, where they got the oil from, and today we're going to continue a discussion of how they would process the oil. And there were three different times that they would actually take the olives off of the trees, and each time they would take olives off of the trees, there were three different sets of oil that they would get from it. And the Gemara is going to rank the quality of each of those times and each of the sets of oil, and we'll discuss what is kosher to use for the menorah, what's kosher to use for Karbanos Mincha, and the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to get into why it is that we need Zach. Well, actually, the Mishnah really on the bottom of Menalf, why it is that we need Shemen Zai Zach, specifically Lama Or for the menorah, but there's no requirement of Zach for Menachos. Why is it that by a Karban Mincha, which gets eaten, you would think you need it to be even more pure than by the menorah, that would be the case. The Gemara is going to also bring several rayos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not require our light. The fact that we light a menorah is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs our light, it's to demonstrate something. So we're going to show or discuss a little bit what that demonstration might be. And then on the bottom of Amud Beis, we probably won't get to it today, but on the very bottom of Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to begin, goes into Amud Aleph of tomorrow, Mishnah is going to begin the discussion of Yayin. Where would they get Yayin for the Beis HaMikdash, and what limitations are there on the Yayin that they would use for the Nesachim of the Beis HaMikdash, and that may be very relevant halacha l'maisa, because the halacha is that Yayin that's not royal and asech al gabei mizbeach is not kosher for koshal bracha. So for kiddush and for things of that nature, l'chora we should have. So it's a question of which of those requirements that we're going to list in the Mishnah are actually requirements as far as koshal bracha is concerned. But let's begin on the bottom of Daf Pei Hey Amud Beis, the last line on the page again at the two dots. Ein mavi in lomi beis hazavalim. So we said you're not supposed to bring from a field that gets fertilized by human hands, nor by a field that gets watered by people, rather than just relying on rain water. And we also mentioned in the Mishnah that you're not supposed to bring anpakton, but if you do bring anpakton, it's kosher. So the Gemara asks the following stira: Va'atanya ein mavin anpakton v'im hevi posel. But don't we have a brisa that tells us the exact opposite? That, well, not the exact opposite. Also, that you're not supposed to bring it, but the brisa tells us if you do bring it, it's posel, at least according to one girsa. We're going to stick with that girsa. If you notice on the side, it says there's a girsa issue over here. V'imhevi posel neshu sarav v'atani v'imhevi kosher. So there may be an additional interpretation over here, but let's just say v'imhevi posel m'pneshu sarav, and it's posel because it's considered sarav. It's considered like sap. It's considered just a liquid that emerges from the olive, but it's not really considered shemen at all. So you see that shemen and paktan is pasul even b'di'eved. Not like it says in the Mishnah that b'di'eved it's going to be kosher. It says Maram Rav Yosef lo kasher. It's not a stira at all. It's simply a machlokas. Rabbi Chia, when he would come across anpakton, he would throw it out because he had no use for it. He would not consider it to be an oil. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi metabelbei, and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi used to use it. He used to dip his food into his bread into the anpakton because he apparently did consider it to be a shemen. So the simanayich, and the way to remember which shita, which one was the one who would use it and which one was the one who would throw it out, ashirim mekamtzin, is that very often wealthy people are a little more careful before they throw things out. Mekamtzin, I guess the proper translation is stingy, but over here it doesn't mean stingy in the sense that not giving to other people, but it just means not wasteful. They wouldn't throw something out, even something very cheap. If they have a use for it, they'll try to use it. And over here, Rabbi Shimon was certainly the wealthier of the two. Between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi was the wealthier of the two because he was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and the Gemara tells him Sachas Kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was extremely wealthy. So Rabbi Shimon was the wealthier of the two, and nevertheless, he would use this low growth grade oil to dip his bread in, because I guess that's how the wealthy get wealthy, by not spending all their money. So he didn't spend on excessive things. Shisha chadashim b'shemen amar. Then the Gemara tells us, you know, it says in Megillas Esther that the sicha that the young ladies would have that came to Achashverosh included 6 months in Shemen Hamor. So Shemen Hamor. So my Shemen Hamor, what does Shemen Hamor mean? Ravuna Barchia Amar Sutachsa. It's a Shemen Aparsimon. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayish Lo Hevi Shlish. It's Shemen from an olive that is not yet 1/3 grown, so it's not fully ripened. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer An Piknon Shemen Zayish Shelo Hevi Shlish. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Shemen Amar that it says by the Besulos is Shemen An Piknon, and that means olive oil from an olive that's not 1/3 grown. Lama Sachnoso? Why would they dafka use that oil? It seems like a low quality oil. You're taking oil from an olive that's not ripened. Why would they use that for the skin? So Shemesher it says because it works wonders on the skin. It works for hair removal, and it makes the skin very soft. So even though as far as eating is concerned, it's not great oil, but as far as skin products are concerned, it's considered to be a very great oil. You're also not supposed to bring from olives that were soaked in water, or that were kavush, that were pickled, that were shaluk, that were slow cooked. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday. So Tanur Rabban and the Brisa tells us Shemen Zayis Kavush Shaluk Sharoi Vishal Shmarim Vishal Reach Ra Lo Yavi Vimhevi Pasul. If you have Shemen Zayis that was pickled, that was cooked, that was soaked, that came from the sediment of the olives, that came from an olive that had a bad smell, all of those things you're not supposed to bring for a Korban Mincha. Not only you're not supposed to, it's pasul, and if you did, you're going to have to bring another Korban Mincha. You're not even Yotze. The reason Shaluk is a problem, the Medrash tells us in Parshas Pinchas, we learn from the fact that it says by the Minchas Tamid, Belula B'Shemen Kosis. So we darshan to be Memait, that Ein Mavin Shemen Mizesim Shlukim Lamenachos. And the reason for the Psul of Reach Ra, the Achronim explains, because it's considered like a Balmum, that it has a foul odor. So there's a discussion what it is about each of these things. The Gemara is about to raise the Suffolk. Wait a second. Balmum, Bay Rabbah, Hikdishu Mar Shilkalav Mishum Balmum. So what if you were Makdish, such oil? Now do you get Malkus Mishum Balmum, that you brought a Balmum? Kivin the Pasul Kabalmum Dami Odilna, Ein Balmum El Bebehema. Do we say that since it's possible it's like a Balmum? Or do we say, interesting way the Gemara formulates the other side, or do we say Ein Balmum Ella Bivehema? So it makes it sound like this issue of Balmum over here is going to be completely dependent on the issue of the issue of Balmum when it comes to Behema is going to be completely dependent on the issue of Balmum that we discussed yesterday, whether you have such a thing as grain that's a Balmum, whether you have such a thing of other things that are a Balmum outside of Behema. So even though the Gemara raised it as several separate shailas, whether the wood could be a Balmum, whether the grain could be, the flour could be a Balmum, so it sounds like over here that the issue of whether Shemen can be a Balmum is completely dependent on the issues we discussed yesterday. That the other tzad to say is that no, only Behema is Balmum. So Teku, the Gemara, like yesterday's Shailas that we discussed in yesterday's daf, leaves this one as a Teku as well. So now, the Mishnah explains how they would get the olive oil from the olives. Shlosha Zesim Hain. There are three times a year that they would be malakate the olives from the trees. Ubahen Shlosha Shlosha Shmanim. And there were three sets of oil they would get from each picking from the tree. Hazayis Harishon, the first time they would be malakate the zaysim from the tree, megargaro barosh hazayis, they would pick the olives from the very top of the tree. Those were the first ones to ripen for the obvious reason that those are the ones that are most exposed to sunlight. The kotesh, and then they would crush them. Venosin letoch hasal, they would put those olives into a basket. Rabbi Yehuda Omer svivos hasal. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not in the bottom of a basket. And the idea of putting it into a basket is you put the olives in the bottom of a basket. The basket has holes on the bottom, so that's a good way of straining out the oil. The oil would drip out on the bottom into another kli that would catch the oil, and the sediment and the peels or whatever, the rest of the olives, the junk from the olive would stay in the basket. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, but it's still not going to be good enough, because it's still going to be very cloudy oil, because there is some sediment that's going to get through. The best way to do it, Rabbi Yehuda says, this is the way Rashi explains in the Ksav Yad, is to stick the olives, these crushed olives, onto the sides of the basket, because then the sediment is going to stick to the walls, and only the purest oil is going to drip down on the bottom to the kli underneath it that's going to catch it. So Zer Rishon, that is the grade one, grade A1 olive oil that comes from the olives. Chazer V'toin Bakora, then, that all happened, that initial oil came without ever pressing anything. They just crushed the olives, dumped them in a basket, and that came out on its own. Then they would put a beam on top of it, and that would cause more oil to come out. Rabbi Domer Ba'avanim. Rabbi says a beam is too heavy and you're going to get too many impurities if you crush it with a beam. It has to be with stones that aren't as heavy. Zesheni. And whatever comes out then is A2, right? We had A1, that's A2. Chazar v'tachan v'ta'an, then they would grind up the olives, whatever's left in the basket again, and again press it down, zeshlishi. That's A3, as far as the level of oil is concerned. But that was all from the first picking. And what's the halacha of the three levels of oil from the first picking? Harishon l'menorah v'ashar l'menachos. The first is kosher to use for the menorah, where you need shemen zayis zach, and the rest is for the menachos, where you don't need zach dafka, where it wasn't necessary to have zayis zach. Hasheni, then they would have the second picking of olives from the trees. So this is B now. Hasheni megargaro barosh hagag. They would pick the olives off that are about the height of a rooftop, meaning not all the way at the very top of the trees, nor at the bottom of the tree, but the height of a rooftop in the middle part of the tree, which is more exposed to sunlight than the stuff at the bottom, but not as exposed to sunlight as the first picking. The koteish v'nosin etochasal, and they'd go through the same process. It crushed it up, put it into a basket, Rabbi Domer Sivasasal, Zerishon, and whatever would drip out is B1, v'toin bakora, and they would then press it down with a beam, or Rabbi Domer Ba'avanim, Rabbi, this is not a beam, but stones, Zesheni, that's B2, v'chazer v'tochan v'ta'an, on Zeshlishi, and then they would again crush it up, grind it up in a mill, and press it again, and whatever would come out then is B3. The Rishon L'menorah, even the first one on the second round is also kosher for menorah, Vashar L'menachos, and the rest is kosher for menachos. Shlishi, the third time they would pick olives from the tree, Otno bebeis habad, they would put they would put it in a ma'atan, which is a crevice in the beis habad, in the olive press, where it would stay there ad shiyilka, until it softened to the point where it seems that it's rotted a little bit. Uma'aleyu uminagvo barosh hagag. Then they would bring it up to a rooftop to dry from the sunlight, because the oil was not going to be good if you didn't dry out some of the moisture that developed while it was sitting in this part of the Beis Habad. Then Kotesh v'nosin v'tov chasal. Then you went through the process as normal. They would crush it and put it into the basket. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sfivos asal, not in the bottom of the sal, but in the sides of the basket. Zer Rishon, and that's C1. Toin Bakora, they would then press it with a beam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avanim, Zer Sheni, that's C2. V'chazer v'tachan v'ta'an, Zer Shlishi, and that is C3. So Harishon l'menorah, and once again, even on this one, the first bit of oil that comes out is kosher for the menorah, Vashar l'menachos, and the rest is kosher to use for a karban mincha, because it's not considered zach, and therefore is not kosher for the menorah. So says Gemara Ibayilu, Megargarotan o Megalgalotanan. What's the proper word in the Mishnah? When we take that first picking from the top of the tree, is it Megargaro, which makes it sound like you don't wait till they're all ripened, you pick them as they ripen. So a little bit here, a little bit there from the top of the tree, or Megalgalotanan? Is the Girsa Megalgalo, which means you leave them all there until that entire area of the tree ripens, and then you pull them all off of the tree. So you don't have to be picking one by one. You can take them all off of the top of the tree. So Tashma, the Gemara says, we'll bring a brisa. It's a long brisa, which is very repetitive of a lot of the things that we've already said. And all we're looking for in the brisa is this one detail. This detail of whether Megargor or Megalglo. Once we bring the brisa, the Gemara at the very end is going to say, it seems like there's another issue to be dealt with within this brisa. But for the most part, the brisa is a repeat of the Mishnah, except for we're looking for this detail. D'tanya, Shemen Zayis Mizeso. The Shemen Zayis, so you see from there that it has to be Shemen that's Mizeso, that it has to be fully ripened, while meaning it's still got to be a Zayis, and it shouldn't be Mikan Amru Zayis Rishon Megalgalo Berosh HaZayis. That the first time they pick olives, it's Megalgalo Berosh HaZayis. So it makes it sound like you wait till they all ripen and you take them all off. So that's the key line. But we're going to mention the rest of the brisa anyway. The konsul of Esavad, v'tochnu b'rechayim, they bring it to the olive press, they grind it in the mill, v'nosu b'sal, and they put it in baskets. Shemen yotzi m'menu zeh yerishon. The first oil that comes out is the rishon. Ta'an b'kora, press it with a beam. Shemen yotzi m'menu zeh yesheni. That was the second level. Chazar u'parak v'tochan. Then they would take it out of the press and grind it up again. Ta'an, and then v'ta'an, and they would press it again with a beam. Zeh yeshlishi, and that was... That was three. That was the third level. Harish on the menorah, Vashar on the menachos. And the level one was for the menorah, and the rest was for the menachos. The chayin zayish sheni, and also the second time they would pick it off of the tree, v'zayish lishi, and the third, v'chayin zayish sheni, period. And then they would repeat the process with zayish sheni as well, as we explained in our Mishnah. V'zayish lishi, and the third time they would pick off the tree, where they were picking from the bottom of the tree, well, that was a little bit different, because otzino b'vesabad, like we learned in the Mishnah, they would put it in this thing called the ma'atan, which was this, again, this hole or this crevice, this ditch in the Beis Chabad itself, ad sheyilka, until it got totally soft, umal l'rosh gag, then bring it up to the rooftops, also so come in tamara, and they would pile it up in a pile that was wide at the bottom and narrow at the top, ad sheyizuv umeimav, until some liquid that got gathered in the olives started flowing from it, from the pressure of the weight, the konso lebeis habad v'tochno berechayim, they would put it into a beis habad, they would grind it in the mill, v'nosu b'sal, they would put it in baskets, v'shemen yotzi menu, and the oil that came out of that, zaya rishon, that was rishon, ta'an bekorah, they'd press it with a beam, shemen yotzi menu, zaya sheni, parak v'chazer v'tachan v'ta'an zaya shlishi, they would take it out, grind it up again, put it in the thing and press it down again with the beam, and that was shlishi. Arisha on the menorah, vashar the menachos. And instead of recording Rabbi Yehuda's disagreement within each stage, the brisa just saves Rabbi Yehuda for the end. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yitokhan b'rechayim ela kocho b'machtashas, that they wouldn't grind it with a mill, they would just crush it with a machtashas, which is like a handheld kli to crush it up. Velo yaton b'kora, nor would they press it with a beam, ela ba'avanim, rather they would press it with stones instead of a beam, and they wouldn't put it in the bottom of the baskets, but rather around the sides of the basket. So in the brisa, it introduces this other idea of Rabbi Yehuda. You know, the last two things that we just said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that they didn't use a beam but stones, and that they didn't use the bottom of the basket but the sides of the basket, that appeared in the Mishnah as well. The first one didn't appear in the Mishnah. That Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama about what to use. Should you use a rechayim or a machtashas when you were trying to get out every last drop of oil? But the point of bringing this whole brisa was that original line, Zayis Rishon Megalgalo Berosh HaZayis. So that's poshet the suffix that we had right at the beginning of the Gemara. Is it Megargaro or Megalgalo? And the answer is that it's Megalgalo, that they would wait until it's fully ripened, and then they would take all of them off at one time. But once we mention the whole brisa, so it says the Gemara, according to this brisa, it doesn't seem that either Shita fully matches with our Mishnah. Ha gufa kasha. It seems to be a self-contradictory. Kotesh, we said that you would crush, sounds like b'machteshes. In our Mishnah, we said that the first the first round, they would crush the olives. It was only later that they would put it in a mill to completely grind them up. But the first, that was only on level 3. But level 1, they would crush the olives. So that makes our Mishnah sound like Mani Rabbi Yehudi. Like Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, he's the one that introduced the idea of crushing it b'machteshes. Toch hasal, asal n'rabonin. But then the Mishnah said, that what do you do with the olives? You put them Tochasal. Tochasal means the bottom of the basket. That goes like the Rabbanan against Rabbi Yehuda. So what do we do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is against, it doesn't fit neither the Rabbanan nor Rabbi Yehuda. It says, when a high Tana, the Tana that taught our Mishnah, Savila Kavase Bechada, Upalagale Bechada, it's a third Tana. It's a Tana that holds like Rabbi Yehuda on one matter, meaning that the first Shemen, you would use a Machteshes rather than a Rechayim to grind it up. And he also disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on a different matter. That he holds that you're maniach lezesim in the tachtis hasal, not in the defanos hasal. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. What do we do? Okay, now I have 9 levels of oil, right? You have 3 times and 3. So what do you do? So says the Mishnah, it's actually very mathematical when you're trying to grade the oil. What's the higher quality and lower quality? Harishon shabrishon ein lamala hemenu. You just add the numbers, right? So if it's 1-1, if it was the first picking and the first oil, so that's the best because that's the smallest number. That's the hasheni shabrishon varishon shabasheni. The first picking and the second. Oil out of the first picking, or the first picking out of the second oil, so shavin, those are exactly the same. Because 2-1, 1-2, it's all the same. Hashlishi shabarishon, vasheni shabasheni, varishon shabashlishi, the third set of oil from the first picking, or the first set of oil from the third picking, or the second one from the second picking, it all equals 4, right? So you have a number system. So that's shavin, those are all the same. Hashlishi shabasheni, vasheni shabashlishi, shavin, the third one from the second picking and the second one from the third picking are also equal, and hashlishi shabashlishi, and the matei menu. As you probably could have guessed, the ninth oil that you get out of that tree is the worst of the lowest quality of all the oils. Ein kolam af kolam menachos hayu badin sheitanu shemen zayis zach. So the really we should have said based on the kal v'chomer that all the menachos should require hayu badin. I'm thinking of oil. Hayu badin. It would have made sense from a basic kal v'chomer sheitanu shemen zayis zach that they would require shemen zayis zach. Meaning every korban mincha should have the most pure pristine oil because the kal v'chomer goes like this. Ma menor shenach. Menorah, which nobody has to eat that oil, and nevertheless we have the purest, most clean oil. So a korban mincha, which is meant la'achila, all the more so should require shemen zayis zach. Tamal omer zach kasis lama'or, ve'ein zach kasis lamenachos. That it says zach kasis lama'or, that the reason that you have shemen zayis zach is dafka to use for the ma'or, but we don't have any such thing when it comes to the menachos. Okay, so says the Gemara now, shavin. So we said that these things are equal va amrit, but didn't we say rishon the menorah v'ashar the menachos? I mean, what did we say that the first oil from the second picking is the same as the second oil from the first picking? Halachically, it's not true, right? The halacha was that only the first oil from each picking is kosher for the menorah, and the second oil, even from the first picking, is pasul the menorah. So how can you say that they're the same? They're not the same at all as far as the halacha is concerned. Amar of Nachum Reizik, my shavin, shavin lemenachos. When we say shavin, it means that they're both equally minamuvchar as far as karban mincha is concerned. Meaning you want to do a hiddur mitzvah, you want to bring karban mincha from the best oil available, and you're not sure what's a better oil as far as picking for a karban mincha. Should I take the second oil from the first picking or the first oil from the second picking? So the answer is that they are exactly the same. But in a chinami, as far as the menorah is concerned, they're not going to be the same. So if you have shemen rishon from the lakita shnia or sheni from the lakita rishona, they're shavim as far as bringing from a karban mincha, and the same is true by the other shmanim that it says in the Mishnah that are shavim, meaning it's not only sheni min a rishon min a sheni, shlishi from the rishona from the from the Shnia would be ahead of the Rishon from the Shlishi, right? Because you always go with the lowest of the numbers. That's how Rashi writes in the Ksav Yad, and the Rambam writes this way in the Perush HaMishnayis as well. In the end of Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam explains that the reason the Chum explain and clarify for us which is the better Shemen is in case someone wants to be Mezake as Atzmo, to be Kofi as Yetzer, the Yarchiv Yadov Vyavi Karbonim in a Yafo in a Mshubach. It's an interesting description the Rambam has, that a person wants to do Idr Mitzvah. So he doesn't just say someone who wants to do Idr Mitzvah. Someone who wants to be Kofe as Yitzro, that he assumes that there's this tremendous Yeter Hara to bring something cheap. You know, what's a big deal? It's just, I'm doing the Mitzvah anyway, so why does it matter how well I do it? No, a person wants to be Kofe as Yitzro and do Mina Yaf, Mina Meshubach, Biyosra, Shavosa, Amin, that this is how you do it. And the Torah says by Hevel, Hevel Gamhu, Mi Bechorot Sonu Mechodein, V'yisha Hashem El Hevel Vel Min Chaso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Hevel Vel Min Chaso, because Cain figured, okay, what difference does it make? I'm bringing a carbon, it could be from a couple of roots, it doesn't matter, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't need it anyway. But Hevel understood that we should do things Min HaMuvchar, HaKriveyon Olaf HaChasecha, they always want to bring the nicest things to for a service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, Av Kol HaMenachos Hayu Badin, so we said, really, it should have been a Kal V'chomer, that if every carbon mincha, that if a menorah, which is just for light, needs Shemen Zayizach, so every carbon mincha, which is going to be eaten, all the more so should need Shemen Zayizach. So Tanu Rabbanan, Zach Ein Zach Ela Naki. Zach means that which is clean, that which is pure. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kasis Ein Kasis Ela Kotosh. Rabbi Yehuda says when it says Kasis, it means that which is already crushed. So it's not enough that it should be zach from the first shemen that comes from the oil, but it also, you need to be kodesh b'machteshes, not tchina b'rechayim, not grinding it in the mill, but crushing it a little bit before the first oil that drips out. So Rabbi Yehuda continued, and he says that since we're medayit from the pasuk, zach kasis, that has to be for the menorah, you need shemen, the first shemen that comes from the zesim. So the pasuk goes on to say, lama'ar, so yachliye zach kasis, Pasul Menachos. If it says the Ma'ar, you might have thought that, okay, so this pure, pristine, perfect, wonderful oil can't be used for Menachos, because it's Dafka Lema'ar. Tamalomar, the Saran Solas Bal B'Shem and Kasis, that Kasis is kosher for Menachos as well, that even Shemen Zach, that comes from that first oil that comes out of the olives, is kosher for Karbanos Mincha as well. The Mizrahi asks why do you have to say this? By the menorah, it says that the Shemen Ayotze Sheni is possible to it, but the Rishon is kosher, so Kolshkin by the Menachos, where the Sheni is kosher, the Rishon is going to be kosher. So he said, no, the Havamina would have been to possible the Shemen Rishon, Zach Kasis requires Sheni, because it's sweeter than the Rishon. The Rishon apparently is not as sweet. And by the Mincha, there's Din of Achilas Mizbeach, but the menorah, maybe Dafka the Rishon is kosher, not the Sheni, because it's Nimshach Achar Psila better, meaning the kind of oil you would look for lighting may not be the exact same kind of oil you would look for eating. So there is avni. It's not like you can't make a regular Kal V'chomer. Oh, if this is good enough for the Mincha, then for the Menorah, then for sure it's got to be good enough for the Mincha, where you can have even lower grade oil. It's not all about lower grade and higher grade. It's different qualities that the oil has. So that's the Havamina. So that's how the Mizrahi writes in his commentary on Chumash. But what you do see very clearly is that you are allowed to be makbid, and l'chora, if you're allowed to, it is a hider mitzvah to use the Rishon Sheba Rishon or the Rishon Sheba Sheni for the menachos as well. I think that's one of the big achronim, I forgot which one, when they deal with why it is that there's such an emphasis on hider mitzvah by Chanukah. Someone pointed out to me yesterday, I didn't mention like the biggest of Yom coincidence, Rosh Chodesh, we bench Rosh Chodesh for Kislev, and the whole daf is all about Shemen. So obviously all of our discussions of Shemen and Zayizach and all that is always about the Chanukiah, right? It's always about what we call the menorah, although it's not really the menorah. But you know, so that's our halach discussion. There's a major discussion in Hilchos Chanukah why it is that we have so much emphasis on hider mitzvah. Normally, the Gemara in Baba Kama tells hider mitzvah ad shlish, that you're only supposed to spend up to one third more than the cost of the mitzvah. mitzvah and hider mitzvah. So, okay, shlish milavar, shlish milgav, the Gemara is not sure, but Kam Daf Tes has a suffix. How do you measure the shlish? If, let's say, the cheapest pair of tefillin that you could find is, whatever, $600, right? So does that mean that for a hider mitzvah you should spend $900? It doesn't mean you should spend $800. Okay, that's a suffix in the Gemara. But it's not shlish. You're not supposed to spend twice as much, three times as much, four times as much as far as doing mitzvahs. So why is it by Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Bei, so you need one candle, and yet hider mitzvah, you have family of so now it's going to be 19 candles, 20 and as well, so 20 candles every night, and then on the second night 40 candles, 60, so it's way more. So why is it that hider mitzvah is going to be so much more than the actual mitzvah? I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for that. Okay, so why is it that hider mitzvah is going to be so much more than the actual mitzvah? So one of the Achronim explains, because the whole nes came about as a result of the hider, because they found this pach shemen that had the chosama shel kohen gadol. The halacha was that for the menorah they didn't need chosama shel kohen gadol. The chosama shel kohen gadol was about the tumah taharah status. It wasn't about the but because they were makbid to use, and for the menorah they needed shemen zayizach, for the menachos they didn't need shemen zayizach, but because they were makbid to dafka use shemen zayizach, that for the menachos they found shemen zay, they had these with the chosama shel kohen gadol, they had for the menorah, so they only had, but that was oil that was actually set aside for menachos, and they were able to use it for the menorah. But had they not been mahader in that, then they never would have had the nes Chanukah to begin with. Okay, so it all came about as a result of a hidur. So im kein matam lama lamaor elam pnei chisachon. So why do you say lamaor? To tell us about the chisaron of money that it would cost if you would have to spend the money on zach kasis for menachos as well. So that's why the Torah doesn't insist on shemen zayizach for the menachos, only for the ma'or, because the menorah had a limited amount of oil that was necessary for lighting the menorah. You needed 3.5 lug of oil each day, a half a lug for each candle of the menorah. But for the menachos, you needed way more. So it would have cost a lot more money. So says Mar Mai Chisachon. Why is the Torah makbid on chisar mamon of Klal Yisrael for the oil? So Amar Blazer, Hatorah Chasal Manam Shal Yisrael. In general, that's the attitude that we try not to have to spend. The Torah tries. Kodesh Baruch Hu tries that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have to spend so much money on mitzvah. So if it's not going to be ma'akev, the Torah says that we don't spend so much money, and tells us to bring zach kasis, that's very expensive, only for the menorah, but not for the not for the menachos. You find such a thing, Rashi points out in Ksavyad, by Nige Batim. It says, V'tziva ha-kohen u'finu ha-sabayis b'terem yavo ha-kohen l'ros ha-sanega, that before the kohen looks at the nega of the tzaras on a bayis, they clear everything out of the house, so that they're not going to be metame the kelim in the house, because then those kelim would have to be destroyed. So get them all out of the house, because before the kohen ever declares something tame, it's not going to become tame. That's the halacha by tzaras. It only becomes tame when the kohen declares it as such. So the Medrash in Torah's Kohen in Parshas Metzora says that the Torah's Chasal Manav Shei Yisrael, and the Kohen says get rid of the Kalim, and when they get rid of the Kalim before the Kohen declares anything, Al Kliyeit or Kesef Izav, maybe they'll become Tamei. I yesh tara b'mikvah. So no, what's the Torah being chas on? Meaning, okay, so the kli zahav in your house, all the silver and the gold and the eight, so it'll become tame. So then you'll be retired. Things become tame, and you bring. No, what's the only thing that can't become tar? Klecheres. Klecheres are the cheapest of all the kelim. Pottery you can make very cheaply. And nevertheless, the Torah says, get it out of the house so that it won't be declared tummy. So it's not just stam that all the kelim in your house the Torah is protecting. The Torah is protecting even the cheapest kelim in your house, or really only the cheapest kelim in your house, because the more expensive kelim you're going to be okay with anyway. Okay, so once the Gemara mentions shemen for Adlakas Menorah, we mentioned a little bit more about this. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yichwe lecha shemen zayizach. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Elecha. It says you should bring the oil Elecha, which is a lashon of chiba, to show a lashon of love. V'lo li, it's not for me, Hashem says, it's for you. Lo la'ora ani tzarech, I don't need the light of the menorah, it's that you need to do this mitzvah, and that's a way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing chiba for Klal Yisrael. Shulchan mitzafon u'menorah bedarom, and just the very placement of things in the Mikdash is an indication of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the light. The fact that the Shulchan is all the way in the north and the menorah is all the way in the south, obviously the Shulchan is not there because I need to eat, and the menorah is not there because I need the light. If the menorah was there to need the light, it's darko shel olam that you would put the light where you eat, because people like to have light where they eat. That's why the Shabbos candles are in the dining room always, where you eat, because it's supposed to be what provides a person with light. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're going to put the light somewhere else, not where the Shulchan is, as an indication that this isn't about HaKadosh Baruch Hu requiring the light to eat. Vayas lebayis chalone shkuk matumim. And another thing that was interesting about the makeup of the Mikdash, which indicates how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not require our help, that they would make the windows shkuf matumim. Tana shkufen mibifnim vatumim bachut, which means it was wider on the outside and narrower on the inside. Because lo la'ora ani tzarech. If one wanted light, so the window would be narrow on the outside and would widen toward the inside, so the light could spread as it comes in. But if one's not so interested in light, you would have it wider on the outside and narrowing on the inside, so you get much less light coming in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, make the windows dafka in a way to be an indication that I have no need for the light. Michutz l'parochas ha'edus ba'ol moed. So they would, when it comes to the menorah, he would set up the menorah michutz l'parochas ha'edus ba'ol moed. So parochas ha'edus is not the parochas that's really the edus. The edus is the menorah. Edus hu l'chol ba'olam shashchina shor b'Yisrael. The menorah is edus for everyone that the Shechina resides with the Jewish people. V'im tomar la'ora nitzarech. If you're going to say that, no, it's not really an edus, it's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the or, v'lo kol arba'im shana sholch Yisrael b'midbar lo halcho ela la'oro, ela edus hu l'chol ba'olam shashchina shor b'Yisrael. The whole 40 years that we were in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the light. So obviously, he doesn't need us providing him with light when we get to the Midbar. So obviously it is just there for an edus for Klal Yisrael, and it is not there for the light. My edus. So what is the nature of this edus? Amarava zer ner ma'aravi. The edus is in the ner ma'aravi, the western candle. It's a question which candle that is exactly, whether it's the middle candle or mamish the ner ma'aravi. The one a little bit off discussion, but it's the ner ma'aravi. Why? What was special about the ner ma'aravi? Shnosim b'shem and kemidas chavoseha. They would put in the same amount of oil, the same chatzi lug of oil in the ner ma'aravi, and yet umimeno hayimadlik. They would use it to light the other candles in the evening, meaning they would light it first, ubahay mesayin, and they would when they would clean out the menorah in the morning, it was the last one cleaned out, because all the other neros were extinguished before the ner ma'aravi. So it was lit first, and yet it lasted the longest. And that was a nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to show that he doesn't need the light, but that there's a special hashkacha when it comes to the menorah, that there's that the way things work with the menorah is in a very very special way. Now there is a discussion in the Medrash which has a little bit of a more elaborate description of this ner ma'aravi, and not just ner ma'aravi, the miracle of the menorah in general. The Medrash tells us, the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Tzitzava, that Omer b'chanina segana kwanim, ani ayisi mishamish b'beis ha'migdash, u'maisen nisim ayu b'menorah. He said, I saw with my own eyes miracles with the menorah, she'i maldikim osam rosh hashana, v'loi so mischabe ad shana acheres. We'd light it in Rosh Hashanah, it would stay lit the whole year. And one time, the Zaysim didn't make Shemen, so the Kohanim started to cry. Yeah, it will stay lit. Don't worry, he would tell them. It could stay lit the whole year. So they say that one time, Rav Chaim Brisker met the Imrei Emes, and he asked the Imrei Emes on the Akasha on this Medrash. that Reb Chaim Brisker said to the Imrei Emes, if this medrash is correct, that it would stay lit the whole year. It's a bittul mitzvah. It's a real Brisker question, right? It's a, you know, there's a chassid would say, beautiful, a miracle. Is that? And the Brisker says, it's a bittul mitzvah. You have a mitzvah sadlaka every single day. How do you do the mitzvah sadlaka? So the Imrei Emes said, no, mistama, they would take a drop of oil, and they would drop a single drop of oil in there each and every day. Well, how does that help? Because the Imrei Emes pointed out, the Gemara Maseches Beis tells us that if a person is mosif shemen in an air on Shabbos, he's chayiv mishum mavir. It's a violation of mavir. So it's considered like you're kindling a fire. So they wouldn't have to relight it, and that drop of oil obviously was not nearly enough oil to last the whole day, so it was a miracle every single day that it would stay lit the whole day, but mistama, that's what they did. Now that's a major assumption, that if that conversation is true, that conversation ever happened, it's a major assumption that the Imrei Emes would assume that mavir is the same geder as hadlaka. Because one could have argued, not every time that you violate the Isra of Mavir, is that called a Maisa Hadlaka, as far as the mitzvah of Hadlaka Saneros, whether it be Neros Shabbos or Neros Chanukah. For example, let's say you hold Hadlaka as a mitzvah by Neros Chanukah. So you light. So the Hadlaka is, you're not allowed to light when there's not enough oil to last you the full Zman, right? So let's say you light and there's not enough oil. Can you, instead of extinguishing and relighting with enough oil, can you just pour the amount of oil needed into the already lit candle? Is that called a hadlaka, that you're now doing a hadlaka? I don't know. It seems there are indications in many achronim that yes, that it is called a hadlaka, but the Avnei Nezer writes in the Tshuvin, or Chaim Sim Tav Kuf Dalit, that it's not so. That the geder of mavir, of what's called mavir, and the geder of hadlaka are not the same geder. Someone could be in violation of mavir without doing what would be considered a real genuine maisa hadlaka. Okay, so that's, we'll stop there. We'll pick up at the Mishnah on Tevav on the base. Sure.